what I'm going to talk about today, it's going to be like a, we already kind of know the story, but it has to do with Isaac. And the reason why I want to talk about Isaac today is because it winds up being very close to, I mean, it does have a direct relationship to the Passover. Even though it happened, you know, hundreds of years later, there is a story behind the story. But you know that God sets things up well in advance before they really even come into play. And so there are some things I'd like to be able to express. Well, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but internally answer your question. Do you see your calling, brethren? Not many wise and not many noble. Now, that word calling is very important, scripturally speaking. All right? And see, we were at this point, we know that the Messiah is our Passover. And if it wasn't for him being our Passover, we wouldn't be the ones to be called the calling. We wouldn't be the called ones without the Messiah. We all recognize that. We understand that. It's plain. And there is a term used biblically throughout Old Testament as well as New Testament, and it uses the word remnant. I talked earlier today with Daniel, and I said, you know, that remnant is really scattered throughout the Bible quite a bit. And what it really means is exactly that, a remnant. In Ezekiel, he talks about 10% surviving. So you take a look at the population. Let's just take a look at the population of the United States of America. I think, what, 300,000 and 300,000? If only 30 million survived, that is a remnant. But in, also, in that story, we also have where Ezekiel's supposed to take some of the remnant out and scatter them too. Doesn't give a number. So it gets down to a very small handful of what would be what we call a remnant. Now, there was something I'd like to be able to talk about. You know, in Romans, the sixth chapter, I'm sorry, ninth chapter, there's a phrase that that Apostle Paul used. He didn't really use it because that was not kind of new. He understood an awful lot of things that were written from the prophets, and especially during the time of Abraham. Now, in the first, in the ninth chapter, verse 6, there's something. The people of the Judah were unable, or did not do, or whatever you want to call it, unable to fulfill all the, to be part of the calling, or whatever you want to call it. And he says, that, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. Now, what does he mean by that? Okay. Well, he explains it for the very next sentence. He says, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Abraham had children, right? But they're not the seed. Okay. What are they then? They are children of the flesh. Now, so all of Israel, they are not all of Israel. There's a segment that is of Israel, and not all. And he goes on farther, and he says there, because in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now, I didn't say in Jacob your seed will be called. He didn't say in Manasseh your seed will be called. No, they're just children of the flesh. And he's talking about Isaac. Now, when did he talk about this? We'll bring it back in history. You remember when God brought Abraham into the promised land at the age of 75? He had a very, very loyal servant. And that very, very loyal servant had a son. And so when God promised him that in your seed you will be blessed, and you'll have, and from your seed the world will be blessed. And so what did Abraham think? Now remember, he's kind of still new on the scene. He's not quite sure exactly. He went in there and it says he did not know where he was going. He had no idea where he's, he just went. All right. And of course he came with an idea. I'll adopt this one as my son. And God says, no. It'll be from your loins. Oh, my loins. And a few years passed, and then Sarah came up with her idea. Do you remember that one was? Oh, I'll tell you what. Marry my maid, and when that got you, and that one will be from your seed, your loins. That's from you. And it happened. And then when Isaac was weaned, whatever age that was, I have no idea. Everybody has their own idea what that means. I don't know. I don't care. But nonetheless, there was a party being raised. Okay, Abraham had a big party. I'm not a party guy, but Abraham was. Anyway, and then Sarah noticed something. That Hagar's son did something. He started ridiculing and making a joke and bad-mouthing, in all sense, her son. And then he said something. She said something. Remember what she said? Get him out. Now, we know that, of course, Abraham was just so excited about finally getting rid of Hagar and finally getting rid of Esau that he was overwhelmed with joy to get rid of them. Right? Oh, no. He was devastated. Because that is his son. All right? Then what did God say? Well, in Genesis 21, verse 10, this is Sarah saying to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son, Isaac. Now, Abraham objected. He said, no. Then along comes God, Abraham, and he says, remember, he was at the point of being weaned. Isaac was not 88 years old. He was being weaned from his mother. Okay. He was still a little kid, or baby still, maybe able to walk and talk and all that, but that was it. And here, he said, now guess what God said? Do not let this be displeasing in your sight, because it was displeasing. Because the lad, or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said, you shall listen to her voice. For, this is when he said these words, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Called what? A seeds of Abraham? Now, you know, that's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? As we know, as years passed by, Abraham finally, got the picture. So much so that in chapter 20, remember this, chapter 21 was when he had to cast out Hagar and the son. And a few years later now, we're at Jacob. Chapter, very 22nd chapter of Genesis, now God requires something else of Abraham. At this point in time, because see, God made a statement. You remember what the statement he made in the 21st chapter? In Isaac, your seed shall be called. Okay. We know the story, but there's something interesting. I went back, because I had to go back and kind of remember, yeah, I know the story, I know the story, I don't have to tell the story. You know, I went back to kind of look at it again, because it's very useful to go back. And then, when he went there to sacrifice his son, he saw something. He saw the place. On the third day, he lifted his eyes, and he saw. Third day, interesting. One, two, third day, he saw something. He saw where? Because God said, there's a mountain I want you to go to, and you'll get there, you'll see it. So he got there. We know the story there. And then Isaac had a question. Remember what the question was? The lamb. Where is the lamb for the whole offering? Oh, check it out. It does say lamb. And what Abraham said? Right, the lamb for whole offering. Of course, we know, lo and behold, Abraham had to hold his son down and tie him up so he wouldn't escape, might we say. And, you know, would you think Isaac was brave and courageous and bold? No, he was scared. Now, that's just plain scared. Now, do you remember the Messiah? You remember? He was brave and courageous and bold. If he was brave, courageous, bold, why did he go to God and cry out three times? Take this cup from me. No. Three times. So, we're seeing a kind of a picture here. Though we don't know the picture of Isaac. We don't see this thing. But it came to a point where it's almost like Isaac inside himself had to say, thy will be done. Now, here is Abraham ready to cut. And the angel stopped him. And he said, do not do this. Why? Well, we'll find out later. But what was caught in the thicket? A ram, not a lamb. A ram. A grown animal. Caught in the thicket. Now, it kind of threw me a bit. Well, why, if you're going to have a lamb for a whole offering, now he's going to have a ram for a whole offering. Don't you find that strange? Oh, no, it's just a story. He just found it. Okay, so he got caught in the thicket. No, I think it's a meaning behind all that. I don't have an answer. I think there was a change in what was being offered. Right? First, it was Isaac was being offered instead of a lamb. Now, we have a ram who's being offered instead of a lamb. Because see, if the lamb was offered on that day, it would not picture the Messiah. The Messiah is the Lamb of God, not the Ram of God. So a substitute was made again. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying? A little bit? So let's go back now to Romans, the 9th chapter. He kind of sums up in a nutshell everything. We're talking about in thy seed. In Isaac's seed. Back to Romans 9th chapter. And verse 8. That is, talk about in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Oh. So the seed is not related to the flesh. The seed is related to God. Oh, that's interesting. Because we know, there, now this is my personal opinion, and you could throw it out if you want. That's okay. But it says in the 10th chapter about Rebecca. Remember her? She had conceived. She had two kids, right? Now, I know the story of people who say, well, inside of her womb, the children were fighting, and Jacob they were doing bad things, and he was doing it, damn it, and he came out with a foot, and they're fighting. Wait a minute. What is the apostle of Yahshua HaMashiach said? I can't buy that, because there was evil. No, he said, listen to this, For the children were not yet born, having neither done good or bad. Period. So you can't go off and say, the reason why God put Jacob is because inside the womb, okay, Isaac, Esau was doing bad things. No, he didn't know. Neither one of them did good. Neither one of them did bad. They hadn't even been born yet. And so it's easy to pass the buck, saying because of the actions of Esau, God picked Jacob before they were born. That's not what the Apostle Paul says. That's the reason why I'm kind of talking to you today. Because, see, this does involve you, and it does involve me. He said to her, the older shall serve the younger. Now, in Hebrew, we went back to, we read it. The older does not mean older, it means stronger one. The stronger one will serve the weaker one. That's a Hebrew phrase, being younger, meaning you're weak. And older means you're strong. And so, and God made a choice. That's really, really, in our mind, it's really hard because, see, we are thinking of the children of the flesh. And so we start looking at Esau, oh, children of the flesh. Okay, they deserve it. And the children of Jacob, oh, they don't deserve it. No, look what God said. This is God. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. Which really, when you start thinking about it on a very human level, an earthy level, could, well, be honest with yourself internally. If you had two sons that came from the same womb, would you say, I love this one and I hate that one? No. Doesn't make sense. They haven't done evil. They don't even know what right and wrong is. They have no knowledge of anything. They're just born. There they are. But God said something. I have made a choice. And he says, verse 15, I'll have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on him whoever I have compassion upon. And that's like saying, oh, we don't have a choice in the matter. Well, I'll tell you the honest truth, we don't. And Isaac it will be called. Oh, Isaac it will be called. Through Isaac, your seed will be called. Called what? The sons of God. Now, so we have to ask ourselves some questions. Passover's coming up. And it's a calling. You know your calling, brethren? Do you know your calling? Your calling is from the seed of Isaac. We know that the Isaac picture of Isaac, the story of Isaac, was to be sacrificed. In the book of Hebrews, it says that by that time, Abraham knew something. What did Abraham know when he was going up there and to kill his son? No, he didn't. No, he didn't know that. It said he knew because God promised through Isaac your seed will be called and I'm going to kill your son. Oh, then the seed is dead. Oh, no. What happened? He believed, according to Hebrews, that God would resurrect him from the dead, even if he killed him. Now, that's an incredible amount of faith. Incredible amount of believing it. Now, in our world, in our life, how does this affect you? How does it affect me? Do you know what? This is an amazing story when you start thinking about it, that it's the seed of God. This is different than the seed of Abraham, because he said in Abraham, oh, I'll bless your children because they are your seed. But there is a seed that he said through, the promise will be going through a certain seed or a certain person. And it related, of course, to the time of the Messiah. Remember he said about Pharaoh? Well, yes, human beings have a really, really hard time. We try to excuse Pharaoh's conduct because he's Pharaoh. I mean, he's just a bad guy anyway, so God had to do that because he's a bad guy. Right? What does the word say? This is the apostle. Apostle Paul. Which many of us have a lot of trust in his words. We believe his words. And sometimes we say, well, yeah, he got part of it, right? But not all of it quite. Look at what he said. Verse 17. For this very purpose, God is quoting God, I have raised you up, speaking to Pharaoh, that I may show my power in you, and in my name may be declared in all the earth. Did that happen? Did it happen? Is it still happening? Yeah. Before, it wasn't. Now, it is. And he said, verse 18, therefore, this is Apostle Paul saying, he has mercy upon who he wills to have mercy on, and whom he wills, he will harden. So we may look at Pharaoh as the worst creature on the human being on the face of the earth, but God put him there. And he says, I am doing this. And so when we look at God, how does that affect you? Verse 9. Verse 24. Even us whom he called. Oh. Do you really believe that God called you? See, that is an act of faith, isn't it? It's not because you were needing him to deliver you out of this stuff. He had not delivered billions and millions and millions of people out of the misery. He just let them happen. In fact, he brings forth the plagues. He brings forth the sickness upon people, right? He says he did. He says he takes the credit for it. At the same time, he said, I will have mercy. Upon whom I would have mercy. How did that mercy come about? When we see in Isaac the seed. In Isaac the seed. What is the seed? All those who are of the flesh are not the sons of God. All of those who are of Isaac, the seed of Isaac, are the sons of God, or the children of God. Now, Apostle Paul says it takes one more thing, doesn't it? It's a very simple answer, right? It takes what's called faith. Do you believe what God said? That's a big one, isn't it? Because we as human beings, we look at it and say, this is kind of heavy stuff. I don't know if I could do this. Because, I told you before, you know, which one of you would have twins, and which one would you say, I hate this one and I love that one? It just doesn't work with you. It just, human beings just can't do that. It's hard. But God has something else in mind. He says, you know, I am going to do something. Verse 25, I'm going to call them my people who are not my people. Why? Because they're good now? Because they've overcome and they left transgressions and they repented and they've learned. No, because he said, I am going to call them. What's he going to call them? Jews, Gentiles? No, my people. We are here in this room. My personal opinion, okay, this is Richard's personal opinion. That we have been called. We were not of anybody's. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. It's not a lot of prayers. Not a lot of suffering. Not a lot of agony from mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa. It is God who makes that choice. Every single time. There's not exception to the rule I see in Scripture. No matter how good you think you were, how bad you think you were, how good you were, my mom or dad, whatever. The reason why you were called is because God called you to be, in a sense, in Isaac. Your seed will be called the sons of Elohim, or the children of Elohim. That's a pretty big thing, don't you think? How did he do that for you? How did he give you mercy when you didn't even know you needed it because it didn't matter to you? When did you find out he actually gave you mercy? When did you actually find out he actually called you? Not mom, not dad, not family, not race, not Jew because I'm Jew, not because I'm Ephraim, not because I'm a Gentile. No, why did he call you?
It hit me when he saved my children from death.
Correct. You start seeing the actions of God. God's mercy is very abundant. But he is the one that says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy upon. You have no bearing on it. I have no bearing on it. And so when he took mercy upon you, on me, he did so by taking the life of his own son. How was that? Showing you mercy. How was that? Showing you mercy. He said, I'm going to give you mercy. Yes, how does he give? Wait a minute. You sinned, you transgressed, you broke the law, you did this, you did that. You don't deserve mercy. The only way I could give you mercy is because I have decided to make it merciful. I've got to be merciful. How am I going to be merciful to you? By killing my son. How? How's that break? Ellie?
He either lets you get into such trouble that you don't know your way out, or he makes you realize that whatever trouble you are in is so severe that you're lucky he didn't kill you. And when that horror and fear hits you, you realize you have been granted mercy.
Been given mercy because he decided to make that choice. When did he decide to make that choice? When did he decide to make that choice? Or make it visible for us to see and understand that choice? In Isaac. Way back there in Isaac's time. Not Moses' time. Not in the Messiah's time. But way back in Isaac's time. I'm going to show you mercy. How are you going to show me mercy? I'm going to take the life of a ram for your life. Oh, a ram? That makes sense. Because it couldn't be a lamb. Remember the issue was, where is the lamb for the whole offering? Didn't say, where is the cow? Where's the bull? Where's the ram? Where is the lamb for the whole offering? So when we think about the Passover, the whole thing is a whole offering. He is our Passover. He is the one that everything was given up. His life was given up. His flesh was given up. His spirit was given up. He gave up his spirit. Remember what he said? He gave up the spirit. It's all gone. All over. Now, when we look back at these things, when we are to examine ourselves, the Apostle Paul says, we examine yourself whether or not. So we do. We look at ourselves as, okay, he granted me mercy. What I'm kind of saying here, maybe in a nutshell, and then Passover time comes, and I go back and I read these things. I hear his conquering his mercy. I'm saying, okay, where did it begin? How does it happen? How did you do it? And it's not a matter of why. He says, it's my will, period, point blank. Okay. So I say, thank you. That's all I can say to God. So the Passover time comes. I think of the Messiah as the Lamb who, yes, takes away the sins of the world as a whole offering. And a whole offering, remember, is the greatest offering you can give to God. It's the highest of all offerings you can give to Him is a whole offering. This time, God said, this is my blood covenant. This is mine, not yours. I am giving up mine. That's a big one, isn't it? So the Passover is a very important time to realize in all truth. It's hard for us as human beings to really picture Abraham actually going to do that. But he really was going to do that. Why? He understood. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. He understood that completely referring to the ones who are going to be called the sons of Elohim or the children of Elohim, not of the flesh. That's how far Abraham grew in great, tremendous knowledge of truth and trust and confidence in God. That's a big one, don't you think? I think it is, anyway. I thank God he's only required one human being to ever do that. And yet, he withheld it. Okay, I want to make this kind of short and quick so that L.A. can go and pick up, the little girl. She left. Okay, that's good. It's just something for you to think about in Passover time. And I got some more things about Passover in the future. But the remnant, he talks about the remnant, and the remnant is the remnant, meaning those who are called after the seed of Isaac. And Isaac's picturing the Messiah. And because of the Messiah, you are a remnant. You're not the majority. You're not the mass of mankind. You are a remnant. And even the book of Revelation talks about the remnant going through some hard, hard times. Doesn't mean he doesn't like you. Just means we must suffer as he suffered. Are you ready for it? Well, no, I'm a coward. So let me die before it all happens, you know. I'm getting old, let me die. But I don't have the choice. God says, it's my will, not your will. I understand all that kind of stuff, and we all understand that kind of stuff. But it comes down to the Passover time, and I want you to kind of put in mind Isaac. And through Isaac, you'll be called the son of God, or the children of God. Not through being a Jew, not through being an Ephraimite, not through being what's the other tribe? Danite or whatever you want to call yourself. Has zero bearing on being called the son or the child of God. It's Isaac. Now, Isaac had to know something. What did Isaac have to know? We don't know. We think, oh, he was just a dumb guy, right? No. He understood something that's very hard for us to really picture. He, yes, knew he was going to be killed. That is huge. That is massive. Did Isaac believe God? Yes. I believe Isaac, this is my personal opinion, You can throw it out. As much as Abraham believed that he would, that God would resurrect his son after he has killed him, his son would believe the very same thing. If my father kills me, I will still be resurrected back to life. Was that not a picture of the Messiah? Now, don't kid yourself. The Messiah didn't want to really go through it. It was a difficult thing. And what did they do? They bound him. Not with nails or whatever he was. So he couldn't escape from the death. And Abraham had to bind his son so his son could not escape from the death. This is why it's called the fear of Isaac. And the Messiah said he fears God. Wow. You see the parallel? Pretty heavy, isn't it? So, Grant, you've been called. What is your calling, brethren? Your calling is to be the sons or children of the Creator of heaven and earth. And it's His will that we remain the called ones.